much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Big Snoop Dogg here, and I know you're going to dig this. Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Everybody take off your shirts. Let's get this party started.
I mean, that's the part I don't understand. Like, who in their right mind would even give Jimmy a show? Motherfucker ain't funny. You know what I mean? You know what's funny? Carson Daly. Like, he'll surprise you how funny he is because he Carson Daly. You're like, yo, you don't see it much on the show because it's a dry humor, but it's hilarious.
Do you like my mustache?
Wear a helmet, honey.
Just hand me something that looks like a sandwich and I'll put it in my mouth.
Do you like my mustache?
No, you look like Super Trooper that became a pedophile, dude.
Is meat on the menu this week?
First of all, do you like my mustache?
No, that's a hard no.
What do you think about bald people? I hate them.
And now.
Now, can you say the alphabet for me?
Well, a very, very heavy, rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison by... Let's go ahead, Terrestation. Let's go to the bit they haven't pit.
Excellent.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning, the 5th of November. It is 5:34 standard time, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Big weekend.
How about that?
Big weekend for you, Bean.
I'm exhausted. My little fingers are raw from all the furious typing 24 hours a day.
You were pretty strong. I got to be honest. You were very insulting this time.
I wasn't insulting. You had it. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to set a few people straight who should know better. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that I'm just going to come out and be honest right now, Kevin, and tell you that contrary to previous years, I now feel like the tide is turning and I am losing the battle.
Yeah.
I was optimistic the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. This year, I feel like it's engulfing us.
I mean, that's sweet that you're realizing that now.
Mm-hmm.
But you were never winning this fight.
Do you think that this time of year, because not only are people still writing daylight savings and that drives you nuts, they're also confusing that with standard, so it's a double whammy for you?
Yes, it's much worse in the fall because people just assume that yesterday was daylight savings time instead of the end of daylight saving time. So yeah, it hurts twice as much.
If I could just ask a question.
It's an arrow. It's, you know what it is, Ellie? It's an arrow to the head and another one to the heart.
Oh, Bean, that's awful.
Wow, that's got to be terrible. Yeah. That strangers tweet something without an S on it and you get an arrow to the head and heart. Like, how do you live?
It's awful.
It's awful.
Let me ask you a question, Bean. At some point, you're going to have to just accept that public tide has turned. Like, for example, I was thinking about this over the weekend. We say the phone number. We say 520-1067. It's not.
It drives me crazy.
It's zero.
It drives me crazy.
But you don't fight that one, and you say it that way.
But here's the thing.
It's not a no. It's a zero. You lost.
I know.
Give
and
it
I
up.
Used to bring. I used to bring that up, and for years I would only say zero. But here my whole thing. You can't die on multiple hills. You got to pick your thing, and you got to stick with it.
Okay.
Like my wife, for instance, her thing is Frankenstein versus Frankenstein's monster. That's the one that drives her the craziest,
when
right?
People call them Frankenstein instead of Frankenstein's monster?
Exactly,
okay,
yes. Because Frankenstein is the doctor, the monster is Frankenstein. Okay, that's her thing. And she's right,
of
course.
That's a super valid thing.
But here's my thing. I can't take up that battle also because I'm over here being busy with daylight saving time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can't fight them all. Look, it's driver license. It's not driver's license. It's driver license.
Don't even try that one.
But that's my point. I know driver's license is wrong. I know it's not driver's license anywhere in any state. But I'm not going to fight that battle. Mm-hmm. You can't fight them all.
I see.
Is my point. So pick your thing and make that your thing.
And how's your thing going?
After all that,
the one pick, the thing that you said, I'm going to forsake everything else and I'm going to focus on this thing.
It's one arrow to the head and another arrow to the
body. So now are all options back on the table? You're going to abandon that one because you lost and move on and try to fix something else?
No, I tweeted yesterday that I'll never stop never stopping. Mm-hmm. And I think that's – I think my last words when I'm 101 are going to be saving. boom, and then I'll just die.
Well, it will have been worth it.
Absolutely.
It will have been worth it.
That's a life well lived.
The thing that sucks is Dawn only really has to encounter her hill to die on once a year around Halloween.
That's
you,
right.
You get it twice. And twice a during year. One of those times, it's the double whammy of standard savings. That's mm-hmm. a lot, Beans. You've taken on a lot.
Maybe it's too much for one person.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to start asking for the Monday off after the time change.
Smart.
By the way, the thing that we were going to do Friday that we bumped because we ran out of time, I think we're about to bump it again because I have to ask, since we're on the topic, Allie, I saw you and Kat get into a little kerfuffle yesterday about the value of standard time. And I think this is a good conversation to have real quick because Californians will go to the polls tomorrow and decide whether to eliminate daylight saving time. So what are the pros and cons of voting yes on that?
Well, Kat's whole thing was this dark so early needs to go straight to hell.
Right.
To which my response was, you bite your tongue. This is the greatest time of year. I like the darkness early. I like the extra hour.
Okay.
So much so that I prefer it was like this all year round. That would be a damn delight.
So why do you like it being dark early? Because most people, I think, here's me speaking for most people, get off work at a reasonable hour if they have a regular job, and they'd like to have more daylight to be able to enjoy at the end of their workday.
And that's great for those people. I come from the land of up at 2:30 in the morning for work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when I was up at 2:30, now I get to sleep until sometimes 3:45. It's amazing.
Crazy.
But when I was up at 2:30 in the morning, hearing kids outside playing, living their goddamn lives, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, unacceptable. When it's dark, guess what they're not doing? Playing outside. Beat it, kid.
Wow.
So your reasons are...
Allie's get off my lawn.
I am. Yeah. When it comes
your
to
reasons are purely 100% selfish.
Oh, it's
on how it affects you.
Absolutely. And that's how you vote, right? Am I a Republican? I just figured out.
How about you, Kevin? Have you given any thought to how you're going to vote on this, or have you already sent in your ballot?
I've already sent in my ballot, but let me just say this. It doesn't matter to me. Because
doesn't matter to you.
You move your clocks back an hour, you move your clocks forward an hour, who cares?
And this thing on our ballot is so dumb to me because if the rest of the country's doing it, then we're even more screwed. Because that makes me do math when I'm talking to people in Oregon.
Does it?
It does.
Tell me about the math.
Because then you have to figure out, wait, is it 6 o'clock up there or is it 5?
It's just 1 hour. Every time you do math, it's plus one.
Then East Coast and you've got the mid. It's too much.
That's
either
too
the
much
whole
math.
Country gets on board or no one gets on board.
So I think that's a legitimate concern because you have family in Maine and half of the year you would be a 2 hour time difference and half of the year you would be a 3 hour time difference.
And how
right?
can you wrap your head around that kind of difference?
Thank you, Kevin. Too
but
much.
Haven't they been doing it in Arizona for like 25 years or
Who
something
lives
like that?
In Arizona?
Yes, they have.
They seem to have survived
family.
It.
Yeah, my whole family.
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
So did you vote yes or no on it, Kevin?
I'm not saying what I voted for.
It's daylight saving time. Nobody's going to protest the show because of how you voted on this.
I feel like I made my insights known when I said I can't imagine caring about that.
Okay,
so
but that
you added your own circle.
Yes. Who cares about this?
Who cares with your official vote?
Especially the people, and I'm looking at you, Jimmy Kimmel, who make a huge 2 to 4 week thing about this.
He goes a bit overboard on how it affects them.
There's no way it affects anybody more than, I would guess, a day or two tops.
Mm-hmm. I'll give someone 3 days.
Fine.
But he's saying months
he would
it
go
takes him.
3-4 weeks all the time. He's like, oh, I don't know, man. It's just this daylight savings is killing me. And then Bieber goes, saving! And it's just a nightmare.
He would barely recover from the spring when it would be time for the fall.
Oh, God.
All right, well, it is a standard time, you guys,
right.
So let it be written, so let it be done.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
Hey, Kevin, what's going on? What's happening? How's it going? How's your family? Good? It's great. So nice to see you. Fuck off.
Wow. Andrew Siciliano joins us to recap the NFL Week 9. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about when you were a kid, you saw something that may have traumatized you because you may have been a little bit too young to see what you saw. And Allie has about 10 of those stories because they all involved when my babysitter was home.
Seriously, where are my parents?
Right?
or do they involve walking in on your parents who apparently are constantly boning?
Yeah, maybe you just didn't know they covered up quick.
God.
Yeah. Tell you about the Friends and Helpers food drive, which starts today. Very excited about that.
I'm excited to get some food.
It's not for you.
Oh, did I say I misunderstood how that worked.
Did I say great news?
You didn't.
Okay. No.
We have a listener who was upset at us last week when we were pointing out that adults should not trick-or-treat. Mm-hmm. And especially without a costume and without a kid.
Okay, that's insane.
She's mad and wants to come on and explain herself.
What would her defense be?
I can't imagine. I don't know.
The only thing I can think
is nuts.
Is she's homeless and hungry, and this is her opportunity to get some food. And if that's the case, stay away from my candy.
I'm just
wow. Took a turn.
I'm just going to say
I don't think that's the case,
what it
not enough.
Based on her listening and emailing everything, I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say that's not it.
Okay.
But right. Also with you, I can't imagine what her answer is.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if I were her defense attorney, what I could possibly say.
Right. And also at 7:15 today, all the details for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yay!
7:15 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
You already know it's Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th at the Forum. What you don't know is who's playing and when the tickets go on sale. We'll fill you in with all those details about the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert at 7:15 this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, Bean.
What's happening?
Well, I'm going to ask the two of you, and by two of you, Kevin, mm-hmm. Did you see any movies this weekend?
I did.
Yeah?
Well, you guys guess. It won't even work to guess. It was Friday night at 9.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of this movie before.
Okay.
Looked up Arclight, saw the trailer, thought it looked good, went. It was in a movie theater that had about 150 seats.
All right.
I was there by myself.
I am going to take a guess.
Just
knowing
me.
Nothing more than what you just said.
Yes.
And say it was nobody's fault.
No, sir.
Oh.
It was a movie I hadn't heard of.
Okay.
I hadn't heard of that one until I heard the movie box office over this weekend.
Oh.
So I assumed
that
was
mine
it.
Didn't make money. There's no way mine. I was the only one there.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. The little greeter that comes in front of the arc light.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I guess if nobody else comes in, you can text.
Did you take advantage of being the only one in the theater?
I did not.
Do a little popcorn trick?
I did not.
Okay.
Okay. I was going to say something like a boy erased, but probably not.
No, I'm going to say, I'll just tell you because I don't think you'll guess it because I had never heard of it. It's
okay.
Not like I saw it in passing. It's called In Search of Excellence.
Never heard of it.
Right, same. But I watched the trailer, uh-huh. And basically it's a documentary about mm-hmm. these athletes, and they had Wayne Gretzky on there talking about it and Jerry Rice and all these players that stood out as the best in their sport.
Wow.
And they were asking them, like, what's the secret? What do you do? Why do you think you're playing at a higher level?
Huh.
It was fascinating.
It was good.
Really good.
Stunned that that's in a movie theater and not on Netflix or ESPN or something.
I assume it will be relatively soon.
Wow.
Based on sitting there by myself, but it looked great and it was great. I enjoyed it.
Extremely impressed that you saw that and you're like, documentary. I'm going to go see it in a theater.
Yeah.
Wow.
I walked in, it was empty. I was like, what a loser.
Well, that did not crack the top 10.
No, surprising.
Yeah, but surprisingly, Bohemian Rhapsody did pretty darn well for themselves, taking in $50 million, which is a really good haul because it was getting not the best reviews. We'll call it mixed.
Okay.
At best, and especially because it was up against Disney's The Nutcracker and The Four Realms, which has Morgan Freeman, Helen Mirren, Keira Knightley. That came in at number 2 with $20 million, which is, I guess, concerning since it cost $100 million to be made. So,
yeah,
not sure.
Like a possible rare Disney misstep.
Yeah, not sure if that'll, you know, catch up over the holidays or that type of thing, but the holidays are a little bit away.
Yeah.
But
I'm getting an update for those interested in tracking down Kevin's movie, mm-hmm. that it's called In Search of Greatness.
Right, that's what I meant.
But Kevin liked it so much, he said excellent.
Right.
Yeah.
In Search of Greatness, okay.
Okay, In Search of Greatness.
Yeah.
All right, so coming in number 3, Nobody's Fool, the movie that we thought you might have seen because neither of us had heard of that one either.
I don't know that either.
Coming in number 4, A Star is Born with another $11.1 million. And rounding out the top 5 was Halloween with $11 million. Huh. Bean, what's Nobody's Fool?
Apparently it's the Tiffany Haddish movie.
Oh.
Oh.
Is that possible?
Could be, yes. All right. Wow, we need to start watching more trailers.
We need to pay better attention, yeah.
That's what we need to do. Well, I mean, how many times have I brought up this story? Will it happen? Will it won't happen? Apparently, today, we are going to get an announcement of a new tour without original member Victoria Posh Spice Beckham. Yes, a report says the Spice Girls are about to give fans what they really, really want.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. That reunion tour. So, according to the Sun newspaper, there's going to be a recorded message broadcast today announcing the big 2019 UK stadium tour.
I'm going to say that there are some bands that you don't want to see a member missing from.
Mm-hmm.
Spice Girls concert without Posh is fine.
You're going to be okay?
I don't think so, yeah. I mean, what does she really contribute to the band?
Do you know if she sings lead on any of the songs? That might make a difference.
No, I don't think so. Very good singer.
No.
They're good.
I think really there's one good singer in that band.
No, there's two. Ginger
Sporty.
Can sing.
Sporty and Ginger.
And Sporty can sing.
Okay,
yeah.
Two. All right. So two of the five mm-hmm. can sing. Excellent.
And those two will be with them.
They sure will. They sure will. Not sure if you saw Ariana Grande's name. It was, you know, real big right there on the left hand of the Twitters. Right
Ariana
there.
Grande?
It was trending, saying that she was going to be releasing a song moments before SNL aired. And people were like, oh, petty Ariana Grande. It's a song about her exes called Thank You, Next. And a lot of people thought, okay, that's really shady, really petty timing. Good for you, Ariana. And then people heard the song and they're like, oh, she's just a kind, sweet human, little mouse girl.
Oh, it wasn't like...
No, it's a really generous and kind song where she name checks Big Sean, Ricky Alvarez, the late Mac Miller, Pete Davidson, and she goes through all of them and why she's so thankful and what she learned from these exes, and now it's time to move on and just really get to know Ari, which is her. So she was thanking them and saying, moving on.
I feel like that's a deceptive title because
it really seems
like she's going to bring the heat
and the timing as well. So I think that all might have been, you know, part of the thinking as well. But it's kind of a lovely, sweet song. But during the Weekend Update segment of SNL, Pete Davidson addressed the breakup as well. He said, I know some of you are curious about the breakup, but the truth is it's nobody's business. And sometimes things just don't work out, and that's okay. And that was the least of his issues on Saturday night.
What happened with him? Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit. SNL getting in some hot water over not only what he said during Weekend Update, but, you know, the guy that plays Trump on the show, Alec Baldwin, punching people before the show. So we'll get to that. And, you know, my feelings about Alec Baldwin. Wow. Couldn't wait to click on his name trending. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. You guys, let's talk about some birthdays. I always find it weird, and I don't know why, but that it's not only Bryan Adams' birthday, but also Ryan Adams' birthday. I know it's not, in the grand scheme of things, really odd.
No, it's a little odd.
It's just a coincidence, and they have similar names, but still. Pretty cool. Tilda Swinton, as well as Kevin Jonas. And
hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
I don't know if all of them are. Or
Cartman
any,
says they are.
Really. Okay.
I go with Cartman.
And Sam Rockwell, and that's what's happening.
7:15 this morning, about 45 minutes from right now, we'll roll out all the details you need to know about this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th at the Forum. Tell you when the tickets go on sale, how much they are, who's playing, all the goods. Coming up on K-Rock.
Got a message from Jensen. You mind if I play it?
No.
Oh, newlywed Jensen Karp?
Hello, guys. It is Jensen. I am calling you to let you know that I am now married.
Woohoo!
Danielle and I got married kind of secretly because we kept saying it a couple weeks, but it was just Sunday. It was last night. We are married. We're very excited. And I'm not coming into work. That's it. Can't do anything about it. I'm not coming into work. So this is my notice that you won't be seeing me for a while. Because I'm married. That's it. Nothing else to tell you. All right, guys. Kermit signing out.
First of all, I'm married and I still came into work. What's your excuse? That's a legitimate reason, I think, to take a few days off.
Yeah, sure. Agreed.
What a hell of a wedding night, by the way, for his new bride to be sitting there while he's on the phone to work.
Woohoo! I don't even know if that was her. I assume it was.
Yeah, I hope so.
Do you guys think they totally did it for the first time after that?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
Okay. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's
all right.
Yeah.
Cool. But Jensen came to us last week and he said that he had a problem with somebody that came to his door on Halloween. And we had this conversation many, many different times. How old is too old to trick or treat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jensen said that parents were coming with their kids and the parents weren't dressed up, but would also reach into his container and take out candy.
So little 7-year-old Cinderella grabs candy, fine, but then the parent comes up right behind her, takes his own handful. What's up with that?
And that seemed ridiculous because if you don't have a kid...
Yeah, why are you...
And if you do have a kid, it's for the kid.
Right.
And
right.
Then we got this message.
Hi, my name is Janice, and I think that trick-or-treating is allowed for grown-ups and children alike. I am not a child, and I still trick-or-treat, and yes, I get dressed up. And yes, I go to haunted houses all nice and dressed up. And yes, I go to parties all dressed up. And I think that that is the one actual holiday that should be celebrated. It lets you be who you want to be, when you want to be it, and how you want to be it. So stop complaining about grown people trick-or-treating and celebrate it. Enjoy it. Embrace it.
What's her name?
Janet.
She doesn't sound crazy. I was expecting her to sound crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's give it time.
She may still.
Yeah.
Good morning, Janet.
Hello, guys.
Well, first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, thank you for calling the Afro line. I don't think we have any problem with people dressing up for Halloween as adults or going to parties as Halloweens or going to haunted houses for Halloween. Mm-hmm. But the trick-or-treating, that confuses us a little bit. Can you tell us more about that?
Okay, what's wrong with it? It's a holiday. You get to enjoy it. You get to have fun. You get to do it.
Right, but
it's okay.
Understood. But here's the thing: that particular part of Halloween, that one thing, trick or treat, really for kids.
No, okay. It's for everybody. Get to go out there and beg for candy. It's fun. You can do it.
I don't normally ask.
You can do it.
You can do it. I don't normally ask this question of a woman, but how can you tell us how old you are?
I'm 35.
35. Okay.
35.
Did
so
you dress up?
Yes, I dress up.
Sometimes I
don't dress up. Sometimes I dress up, depending on how much time I have to get ready for it.
Wait, sometimes you don't dress up and you still go door to door asking for candy?
Yes, I borrow a neighbor's kid so I can go with them, but I still have my little goodie bag.
You are a scammer.
No, I kind of respect that.
No. And sometimes I just, I ask my neighbors, they work at night. I was like, you know what, I'll take your kid trick-or-treating with me. And at the same time I trick-or-treat, I go there, I put my little hand out. I was like, trick-or-treat, and they give me a treat.
Is this your one call from jail?
Janet, have you ever been rejected by an adult who does not want to give you candy because you're older than he is?
One time when I was on a date, yes. They thought we were stupid.
Oh, hold on. On a date?
Let's back up, Janet.
So
it was my first date. What's a first date? It's a way to find out if a guy is worth having time with.
Right. But for your first date, you chose to go trick-or-treating on Halloween?
Yes. It's like having a date for Valentine's. You get to say, you know what? You want a date? Yeah.
Well, okay, we understand dating.
So when you hear people have a discussion every year about 12 or 14 or 16 or whatever the appropriate age is for kids to stop trick-or-treating in costume, you just scoff at that because you plan on trick-or-treating for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah, until I'm able to walk and I'll stop walking. I can even use a walker, yes.
Wow, you've made plans. How about if we all get together and just send you some candy, Janet? Would that help?
No, I can't eat candy. I don't like it.
Oh, my God. What is... What? What?
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
What are you doing with all the candy? Greatest. You just said you don't like candy.
Best plot twist ever.
I throw it away.
You throw it away. You're a monster.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
No,
why? Okay,
first,
let me ask another question. So you're taking people's candy, which they had to buy... Mm-hmm. And then you're throwing it in the trash.
Yes.
Is it just the rush? Is it the adrenaline?
That you're getting away with something?
It's sometimes just to see the expression on people's face. And sometimes it's because they can't say no to me because I'm cute like that.
Oh, Janet.
You are all kinds of crazy, Janet.
I think I love her now, though. I will tell you, I think I want a reality show with Janet.
She doesn't eat the candy, you guys.
You are literally taking candy from a baby. You know that, right? Literally.
No, I'm not. No, because I pass treats, and I don't give one candy. Excuse me, Jensen, but you shouldn't be taking the hints off kids when they are reaching for candy. They can have a handful.
He was saying that they would reach back a second or third time, mm-hmm. and he was trying to stop that, which seems valid.
Well, he also does the big bars. He doesn't do the little candies.
King size, right.
That's different.
Okay, I give the medium-sized candy because the kid's handful, it's like two or three candies anyway, so they... One handful and that's it, bud.
Well, that's because you're recycling your candy.
That's it,
that's
bud.
That's the thing.
Hey, Janet, how are you even handing out candy to trick-or-treaters when at that same time you're going door-to-door getting your own candy to throw away?
Great question.
No, I go at a little bit of a later time because kids usually pass out by 7 o'clock. I usually go by 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's getting pretty late.
Do you sometimes knock on a door where it looks like they were giving out candy earlier and they're not now?
No.
You just break in and take the candy?
Yep, that's what she's doing. She's breaking in. Janet, you are a miracle, and I can't... We were trying to figure out what the defense was when we said, hey, we should have Janet on and discuss this. We're trying to figure out, what could she possibly say? And I think you've blown our minds by just shamelessly saying, I do it because it's fun.
Well, nobody guessed crazy.
Yeah, nobody guessed crazy. That's true. All right, well, listen, next time don't throw it away. Send it to Kevin and Bean, okay? If you're going to do it right.
Don't waste it.
How about I just buy you guys a bag of candy?
I mean, it's a separate... Okay, fine. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, about a half hour away from all the details on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this year.
And why do you play that song if you're trying to keep it a secret until the announcement, by the way?
That's not a clue. Not a clue.
No, you don't know, man.
Not a clue.
Hey, coming up just after the top of the hour, like we do every Monday, it'll be time for Great News.
Great. See, you stopped and I had it.
Because I didn't think it was at the beginning. Okay, my bad. Great News. Okay. Coming up right after Allie's What's Happening Here on this Monday morning.
You guys, Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald, that comes out on November 16th. But how would you and maybe four other winners like to see it 2 days earlier at Arclight Hollywood? Yes, right now. Let's take the first five callers. You're going to get a pair of passes to K-Rock's advanced screening of Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I hear amazing things about this movie. Like, it's so much better than the first one.
The first one was good.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even better. Mm-hmm. Eddie Redmayne, Ezra Miller, Jude Law, Katherine Waterston. I mean, quite the cast, right?
Looks amazing.
Now, do I have to have seen all of the other movies, Kevin, to understand this movie, do you think?
I don't think so, but you have... I mean, I think
you have to have seen Fantastic Beasts.
There's a lot of reference to the Harry Potter story, but you'd be fine without it, but you'd enjoy it more if you knew it.
Okay, so I have some catching up to do.
Yeah.
Okay, will they play Quidditch?
I don't have the answer to that. I don't think so, because this is not based on the school.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, this is more about Dumbledore, right?
Yes, see, and if you don't know who Dumbledore is, then it makes it a little difficult.
Like the headmaster guy, right? Huh?
Well done. Someone told you.
Yeah, a little bit. You guys see what Drake tweeted out over the weekend? He actually put it on Instagram.
What's this about?
He was apparently at a Vancouver casino, and he accused them of racial profiling. He said, quote, Park Casino is the worst run business I have ever witnessed.
Wow.
Profiling me and not allowing me to gamble when I had everything they originally asked me for.
Racism.
So they have since issued an apology, addressed the whole situation, made a big show of it. We didn't mean it for any of this to happen. But I had read somewhere that if you are going to gamble, you have to have all these different things ahead of just like going in and gambling. You have to, in order to get to like this high stakes table, they have to do this background check, that type of thing.
Wow.
So because maybe it was after a show, it was kind of late at night, they didn't have the appropriate checks and balances
but
in order for him to play.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. If you're running a casino
yeah.
and a guy that you know is a multimillionaire walks
yeah.
in the door.
He gets a pass, right?
You let him play.
That's what
he's
I
he's got the money.
Think.
He's good for it.
Yeah.
I would assume
you didn't
they
recognize
didn't,
him.
They didn't recognize
yeah.
him.
And you're just like, who's this dude? We don't know if he has the money. It's the only thing I can think, but yeah.
This was in Vancouver, BC?
Vancouver, British Columbia.
Well, he's the only black guy in Vancouver, British Columbia. How do they not recognize him?
I'm sorry.
Can't answer that.
Seriously.
Thank you so much. Okay. All right.
It
well,
sounds
we'll,
racist.
We'll look into it is what we'll do. So this is not a huge spoiler, but maybe a little bit enough so that you would get mad at me if I didn't say spoiler alert for all of you that did not watch last night's episode of The Walking Dead. So turn down your radio. Rick Grimes. His story isn't over just yet. Despite last night being his final episode on the AMC show, The Walking Dead, the network has announced that Lincoln will star in multiple movies that will continue the story of his Walking Dead character.
Interesting.
I won't tell you how.
I'm in.
Because that's the main spoiler. But
do
yeah.
we need or want that?
Yes. And yes.
So okay. there you have it. There you have it. Bean, I saw this story and I immediately thought of you. We know you have some issues when it comes to customer service and being on the phone for long periods of time with customer service.
It's the only
service
thing
people.
That makes me cry.
Literally has made him cry. Yeah.
I dealt with losing my father this summer mm-hmm. more easily than I deal with trying to get anything done with AT&T,
which is odd in itself.
Yeah, and true. Here's the thing. You're absolutely right when you think some people have much better luck than others when it comes to navigating customer service, but there may be a reason for it. The Wall Street Journal reports that each business assigns a customer a lifetime value, or a CLV. So depending on how high your CLV score is, you spend less time on hold, you have a more pleasant experience with the customer service representatives, you get more perks and upgrades with those with a lower CLV score. So I'm concerned about your CLV score is what I'm saying.
How do you affect your CLV score?
Well, how do they determine that?
Companies use their own metrics to determine the scores, but the general rule is if you shop a lot and don't return things or make complaints, you have a more solid score. So
they penalize you for making complaints,
yes.
which can be super valid.
Absolutely.
Wow.
100%.
So when Kevin calls and he frequently has trouble with DirecTV, mm-hmm. they can see his number and they can go, all right, this guy's called
trouble
times
yep.
previously, so his CLV
yes.
would be real low. So let's give him the worst possible service.
Absolutely. So if you're calling up to say, I want to just get rid of my service, and they see that you have a low score,
right.
they're not going to be plying you with all the, well, how can we make it work? How can we? Instead, they're like, all right, beat it.
Yeah, I might pass that anyway. They hate me. I hate them. That's how it works.
Okay.
It's an abusive relationship.
It's horrible.
Really sounds like it. Another thing that affects your rating, general demographics. For example, a married middle-aged woman is going to get faster service on the phone than a single guy in his 20s.
This seems like BS.
It really does. But it's,
I think there's so much metrics going on that
absolutely.
We don't even know about
yeah.
with the way they compile information on customers these
yeah.
days.
By the way, don't worry. You're never going to find out your CLV rating because they're not publicly available. So unless you know someone at the company and you could be like, hey, DirecTV, what's my score? And they're like, ooh, doesn't even rank. That's bad.
Bean's right. Mine's at a zero.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But I would.
I had a point one until a couple weeks ago.
And then you burned that last bridge. I would pay money if I could figure out a way to up my CLV with, like, Cox, you know, and people made
what?
Things
what?
Like
take
that.
Take it easy,
Bean,
dude.
Slow
Cox
down.
Cable.
Don't
Cox cable.
Get to that.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Man, I thought you were losing it.
No, I have my internet with them, and and it's just, it's a nightmare every time I start over, and I, honestly, it would be worth, I would pay a subscription fee just
yeah.
to get better service on custom, you know, when I call in.
Yeah.
But that's fair. That's a very interesting article, Allie. Thank you for that.
Hey, you're welcome, Bean. Sorry about your Cox situation. Some birthdays for you.
Sorry about yours.
How dare you? Tilda Swinton, Bryan Adams, Ryan Adams, Sam Rockwell, and Kevin Jonas. And that's what's happening.
All the details on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas in about 10 minutes.
Very exciting time of year, you guys. In fact, I'll go so far as to say it's the most wonderful time of the year.
That's beautiful.
That? Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well
said, B.
Who's ready for some great news?
Oh.
Now, that wasn't on me.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! I have to tell you that I am ready for some great news. I don't know how much you don't watch the news, Kevin, because you're a kid. But over the weekend, I felt it was one of those times where every single story was awful. Like kids getting hit by school buses and just all and fires everywhere. I mean, it was just we need a palate cleanser here, Allie. So why don't you get us started?
I agree. Thank you, Bean.
No, I mean, do your great news story.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about great news. I love the fact that so many people now send us great news
Me
stories.
Me too.
They send them on Twitter. They do it on Instagram. They email it to us. I love that because people are now on the lookout for stories that they maybe just scrolled past. They wouldn't take a minute to stop and read. And this one was sent to us from a young lady named Kat Corbett. And she said, this immediately made me think of you guys and great news, although she called it good news. So come on, Kat. I mean, let's get it together.
She hasn't heard the show.
Listen.
Sometimes it's only good, but we try to pick great.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fact that this is falling on National Donut Day makes it even better. So every day for the last 30 years, John Chan has greeted customers at his Donut City location in Seal Beach starting at 4:30 a.m. Him and his wife, Stella, they've become a staple in the community. For him, he said it's just nice working with his best friend and partner. But lately, you better get there earlier and earlier because the goodies are flying off the shelves like never before. And here's why. Last month, his wife had a brain aneurysm and she was rushed to the hospital and she continues now to recover at a nursing facility. And as you can imagine, it's been extremely difficult for the family. And when people in Seal Beach found out about this, they thought, you know what we should do? We should go in every day early and buy everything off the shelves so he can leave earlier and earlier every single day and spend more time with his wife.
That's awesome.
So they've been coming in and cleaning him out by 10:30 in the morning, which is wonderful. So they said the sooner we can get him home and get support for her, the better for both of them and the community.
But what about me if I want a donut at noon?
You don't get one, dude.
Mean.
But they're closed, though.
Right.
Because they have sold out.
I don't care for this at all.
So lovely John Chan can go to his wife Stella's side and be with her as she gets better and recovers. So got to hand it to the people in Seal Beach who saw this and thought, how can we help? And it's just such a simple way because I know, especially a guy that's had this place for 30 years, he's not just going to shut down. He's going to get in there early, get the job done, work as hard as he can so he can then leave later in the day. So to make it even easier for him to leave even earlier, it's such a blessing. So that's my great news.
Donuts, right?
Right.
Bean, there are other places, too, that you can get donuts. You should look into it.
Great news involves one young man's reaction to the awful anti-Semitic attack in Pittsburgh last week that killed 11 people and left six others injured, including four police officers. You've seen the outpouring on the news in Pittsburgh of blood drives and vigils and all the crowdfunding campaigns. And this one involves crowdfunding as well. A Chicago-based activist named Tariq El-Masidi works with a Muslim fundraising website called Launch Good. Within 2 hours of hearing about the shooting at the temple, he started an online campaign with a goal of $25,000 to help the people there. And this surprises a lot of people because this is a Muslim organization that generally raises money for Muslim concerns. Well, as of last night, they were well over $200,000 that has been raised for funeral costs of victims of the temple shooting and for medical bills for those who were injured. Putting our religious differences or even our political differences aside, the core of all of us is that we have a shared humanity, he said. We wanted to reach out as human beings to help. He said that, by the way, they've already started distributing some of the donations as of this morning. He also said that he was inspired by the story of the Prophet Muhammad, the founder of Islam. When he saw a funeral procession for a Jewish man, the Prophet stood up to pay his respects. When his disciples next to him noted that the man was not a Muslim, Muhammad replied, "Was he not a soul?" Mr. El-Masidi said that while Judaism and Islam have differences, they are linked by tragic similarities. Followers of both faiths have been targeted in bigoted attacks. This shared discrimination has brought both communities closer. So within a few days, he raised over $200,000 to help victims and family members of victims of the Temple shooting.
Wow.
And I just think that's so beautiful when you see people of very, you know, it's easy in our mind to think about Muslims and Jews being at cross purposes. But when you get down to the basic humanity of it all, I think it's wonderful that something like this can happen. And that's my great news.
Mine is a soldier who was helping hurricane relief mission in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He lives in Charlotte. He goes to North Carolina and he's helping people clean up and looking for survivors and everything else, because that was one of the hardest hit places for the hurricane. And while he was gone, his home was robbed.
No.
In Charlotte, somebody broke into his back door, took his computer, took everything that was in there.
Man.
Stuff like that he didn't have a replacement for, and they get home and it's just his stuff is everywhere and it's all the important stuff is missing.
You may be misunderstanding the concept of great news.
So then his friend Mary Capron decided to put up a GoFundMe page to help him recoup some of the costs. Mm-hmm. She put it up and she said, "This is my goal, $5,000. In less than a day, people had sent in $15,000.
Wow.
In less than 24 hours. And then, and this is my favorite part of the story, he, Luis Ocampo, went and said, "I'm closing the GoFundMe because $15,000 is enough.
Oh, wow.
And I don't want to take advantage of people's kindness."
Seriously.
Right?
This guy.
So her friend, so his friend that put up the GoFundMe, good on you. All 400 people that donated, good on you.
Yeah.
And good on him for just closing it down and saying, "I have enough."
Yeah, we're good.
Use your money someplace else.
Mm.
That's sweet, and that's my
great news. Is that too loud?
Nope.
Okay, let me try it again here.
You want it to be too loud?
No, I don't. I want it to be just right.
Okay.
This is an important moment. This is something we look forward to all year long. All the details you need to know on the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th at the Forum, including night number one. Hit it, Steve.
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018.
California!
Night one. Saturday, December 8th, the Forum.
Are you ready for a war?
Wanna go for a ride?
Smashing Pumpkins.
Like so many of you guys, I basically grew up listening to K-Rock, and they have changed our lives.
30 Seconds to Mars.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
Third Eye Blind.
I want something else. How's it gonna be?
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. Greta Van Fleet.
Sweet.
Bad Religion.
Thanks, everybody. Have a very Merry Christmas.
The Interrupters.
You having a good holiday festival, Los Angeles?
AFI. AJR. Bad Flower.
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018.
Night one. Tickets on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños. K-Rock.
I will allow it, first of all. That's a hell of a lineup, you guys. Some of our all-time K-Rock favorites, including Smashing Pumpkins and 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Religion, one of the great live bands in Southern California history, also Third Eye Blind, Greta Van Fleet, who I can't wait to see live, by the way.
Agreed.
The Interrupters, who we were lucky enough to have to play on our show not long ago, are going to be super, super fun. AFI, one of our favorite bands of all time, also on the bill. It seems like too much. And a couple of up-and-coming bands that you'll really enjoy, too, AJR and Bad Flower. That's the lineup for night number one. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon.
So the night two, is this same as night one or no?
No. Check this out.
It seems like all of L.A. is starting to get into the Christmas spirit.
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018.
I see you guys in the pit out here. Where are the people in the mosh pit at?
Night 2. Sunday, December 9th. The Forum.
And what do you want for Christmas?
Florence and the Machine.
Hey, this is Ben from Death Cab for Cutie. Please join us, won't you?
Death Cab for Cutie. K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. Best deal.
But if you close your eyes, I want you to be happy.
We have a very, very special guest with us tonight. Say hello to Mr. Mike Shinoda.
Mama, help me. I've been cursed.
One thing, I don't know why.
Mike Shinoda.
A little bit of loneliness.
At the age of only 16, our next guest is one of the hottest names in music.
Please welcome Billie Eilish.
You should see me in a one light. You should see me in a crowd. I was all shining. Young the Giant.
I'm waiting for this.
Churches.
Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018.
Oh, oh, oh. Night 2.
Tickets on sale Friday at noon.
Proceeds benefit Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños.
That's a little bit of a different flavor from night number one, but
yes,
still
is.
Awesome. Florence and the Machine, an amazing live act. Our friends Death Cab for Cutie, the return of Bastille. It's been a long time since we've had the opportunity to see them. Mike Shinoda on the bill, Billie Eilish, Young the Giant, Churches, Mike Posner, and Lovely the Band, one of the biggest breakout stars of the past year, all playing night number two at the Forum on December 9th. Again, tickets go on sale this Friday.
This Friday at noon for both Saturday and Sunday. So you pretty much, I would guess, have to pick a night and try to get it.
Or both?
I
Why
suppose
not?
You could try to get both, but
yeah.
But yeah, both days go on sale Friday at noon, and again, benefiting Para Los Niños and the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center. So that's the lineup. Enjoy, and get your tickets Friday at noon. 30 Seconds to Mars, one of the bands playing the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. We just made the announcement. Night one is Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, AFI, AJR, The Interrupters, Bad Religion, Greta Van Fleet, Third Eye Blind, Bad Flower, all on Saturday night the 8th.
Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon, by the way. You can get all these details at krock.com. And if you missed the announcement, night two includes Florence and the Machine. Also, Death Cab for Cutie, Bastille, our friend Mike Shinoda, Billie Eilish, a great up-and-coming artist, Young the Giant, Churches, or as we like to say, Chiverches here on this program, Mike Posner, who's back strong, and Lovely the Band. Those are two amazing nights, December 8th and 9th at the Forum. Tickets go on sale this Friday, krock.com. For all the details, you buy the tickets to Ticketmaster.
All right, it's time to talk friends and helpers again. Whoops, sorry.
Mike, Kevin.
Your own
people,
wife, Kevin. Of all people, who deserves
Kevin.
A mic turned on?
There are times I don't turn my own on, so it's not really true.
I won't take it personally.
Melissa, okay. You'll be happy to know that numerous times this year, and I don't know what this is about, Kevin has turned his own mic off while he is still talking as well.
You know, this is the beauty of Kevin, and you just have to embrace it.
It's for the best.
It's
don't
for
you
the
think?
Best. Just let it go. Just embrace it.
In fact, you wish you had that set up at home where you could turn his microphone off.
That would be amazing if I could do that. I need to
All
figure
right,
that out.
A couple of times a year, Melissa comes in to talk about Friends and Helpers. Friendsandhelpers.org, the charity that you guys run and have run for what, over 20-something years now,
26
right?
years.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Don't give me any credit for running
no,
it.
No, can you get credit?
I mean, I'm just the spokesperson.
But you let your garage be used,
sure.
right?
Sure.
Our garage, our living room, our family room, my office, Kevin's office.
Neighbor's house.
Anything we can get.
You give up a place to park. All right, so this is the 24th annual Adopt a Family Holiday Program. Melissa, yes. What's all this about?
Okay, what this is all about is we have so many people in need in Los Angeles and Orange County, and so we do Adopt a Family. So you just email us, and you can adopt a family.
and it's people. So you're giving exactly to somebody who has a need, not some random card you pick off a Christmas tree. It's exactly somebody who has a need. And we're also doing adopt a stocking, adopt a women's bag, adopt a snack bag. We are working on everything because we are just getting bombarded with people who have needs this year.
For those of you that don't know, it's a charity that helps abused women and children. Yeah. And they most of the time have to flee the house in the middle of the night. They have to go to a shelter and they have nothing.
Right. So we provide the basics and we also provide holiday gifts and food. And we're going to be doing food drives at the Kings all this month as well. So you can come to the Kings games and bring a little food would be nice. But the great thing about Adopt a Family is you can mirror your own family, your own group of friends, people you work with, and kind of get in that holiday spirit and help people out at the same time. And if you're too busy, you can just give money or mail in gift cards. Like, we make it as easy as possible for people to give.
Yeah, there are lots of different ways you can contribute. And by the way, has the program been around so long that now when people unfortunately find themselves in need, they actually think of you? They go, oh, where can I go for help? I've heard of Friends and Helpers, and now they come to you out of the blue.
All the time. I mean, people only hear me here twice a year, but we work all year. We provide groceries. We provide hygiene items. All year long we're working. We do back to school. You know, we're always trying to make sure that we're helping our community, and the community is in need. You know, food pantries are empty. It's a weird year. People are voting tomorrow. You know, people feel the weird vibe. So we have to make sure that we're helping our community, and there's so much need. And it's simple things. Pajamas, socks, maybe a Lego, canned foods, grocery store gift certificates, something for teenagers. You know, our teens are often forgotten, and we really need to take care of them.
A lot of people want to help, and they say, are there little kids? And we go, yeah, there's plenty of little kids. But what about a teenager? And they go, I'll get a little kid.
Yeah, it's we like the little kids better.
It's a little more fun, I guess, but...
Allie's policy is beat it, kid, though. What do you do about that?
But
I do love, Melissa, that you have made it so easy and in so many different ways, because people can help Friends and Helpers, like you said, online with a cash donation or with a gift card, or they can come to the drop-off locations you have, or like you said, people are going to the Kings game anyway, they can bring stuff. I mean, there's really kind of no excuse for not doing your part this holiday season to help others who are less fortunate.
And you can do it in so many easy ways, like Bean just said. And it's basic needs. We really are seeing a lot of that this year. You know, I know today is November 5th, but we've been working on Christmas for 3 months. So we have been talking to centers and shelters, and we know what the needs are. And, you know, we have one place that takes care of kids after school that would have nowhere to go, wouldn't be safe, wouldn't be looked after, and they need 400 toys. So maybe you're a person who likes to work in toys. Just call me up. Email me. I'm around. I work 24 hours a day this month, and we can help you out. Was that weird, Kevin?
Well, I don't want to talk to people who want to work with toys. I don't know what that means.
You know what I mean? Not everybody's mind goes to the gutter. Thank you, Kevin.
And also
Kevin always assumes a white panel van is somehow involved.
I know he does.
Also, for the food drive, we just want to mention that's separate from Adopt a Family.
Yes.
So the food drive, the games for the Kings are the 8th, the 10th, the 13th, and the 21st.
Yeah.
And you can just bring canned items. And also gift certificates as well.
Right. You can just go to the store, go to the Thanksgiving aisle, pick up a few things, and come to the Kings game. We need the support.
Because there are so many different ways to donate and so many needs and so many thousands of people who are counting on the K-Rock listeners this year, I think the easiest thing to do is just to push the website. Just all the information about all the appearances and all the ways you can help are at friendsandhelpers.org. I mean, that's really one-stop shopping right there, right?
It is. Friendsandhelpers.org. And if you have questions, you can just email us, and we will answer you right away. We're really good about that. And, you know, make somebody else's holiday bright this season. It's very easy, and we really appreciate the support.
That is well said. Thank you, Melissa. Great to see you. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
Playing all music now. We made the announcement a little bit earlier this hour of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, and that is Smashing Pumpkins, and they're playing night number one.
I, of course, did not see them at the Forum, as many people did when they sold it out recently, but I hear that they are putting on some of the best shows of their career right now. So that'll be fun to have them headlining night one. Get all the details at krock.com. Tickets on sale Friday at noon, as we have been mentioning. Hey, Andrew Siciliano joins us from the Red Zone on DirecTV to talk NFL Week 9. Sorry, Rams fans. That'll be coming up after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with what's happening.
So on Friday, when I see that Alec Baldwin is trending, I think, do I click on it? You guys know my feelings about Alec Baldwin.
You love him?
You're probably hoping his Sunday night talk show had been canceled.
I assumed, looking at the ratings, that it would be canceled. But no, he had been arrested for allegedly punching a guy in the face over a parking dispute. This all happened on Friday, and a spokesperson for the NYPD told People magazine that Baldwin was charged with assault and harassment. TMZ is now reporting that there's evidence Baldwin never punched his accuser and that it was a case of mutual combat, not assault.
Mutual combat?
So, a lot happening in New York over parking spaces, right?
There are a few parking spaces.
Very few. Very few.
I wanted to ask you guys about this. Maybe this needs to be a conversation for another time. But the story that I heard is that he had a family member, quote unquote, saving a parking space for him in front of or near his building where he lives. What are your rules on when it's okay for somebody to save a space for you if you're not there immediately to pull into it?
Like literally standing there?
Mm-hmm. Just yeah. run them right over.
Absolutely. Beat it.
Are you allowed to save a space?
No. No, unless the person is literally like pulling up right then, like hop out, that's my spot, and there's, you know, people parked on the way leading up to it, you can't get to it just then.
Right.
Fine.
So what if he saves it for like a half hour before the car gets there?
But no.
My thing is, what are you going to do though? You're not going to run over the guy who's standing in the spot, so you move on and look for something else, I think.
Or do you run him over?
I don't think you run him over.
You don't run him over.
That's bad advice.
I mean, you really see this in the eastern states when somebody shovels the snow out in front of their house.
Yeah,
right.
Well, now
and they feel like they own that spot because they shoveled it.
And there's actually rules now for certain areas where you're allowed to put like chairs out for 24 hours if you shovel that spot. It's all very bizarre. Something we never have to deal with out here obviously the weather's great and there's ample parking. What?
But in New York, I wonder if you can go around the block and have somebody save a space for you. Because as Kevin mentions, parking is at such a premium there. You know, a space is like a unicorn.
Well, regardless of what it was, Alec has a pretty short fuse about things.
It does seem like there's an issue there.
We have seen in the past he likes to lash out at people, whether it be a photographer that he uses homophobic slurs with, whether it's his child that he's leaving voicemails with. He tends to get really angry really quickly about some things. So who knows? Who knows what's going on? At least we could tune into SNL and not be bothered by anything. Oh, no. Here's what happened on Saturday Night Live. Apparently, they were doing their final pre-election episode of SNL, and Pete Davidson stopped by the Weekend Update desk to offer his first impressions on what he said were several gross candidates running for office in Tuesday's midterms. He cracked jokes about Rick Scott, Peter King, and then he took aim at Republican Dan Crenshaw, whose picture appeared on the screen.
This guy's kind of cool, Dan Crenshaw.
Come on, man.
Yo, hold on. You may be surprised to hear he's a congressional candidate from Texas and not a hitman in a porno movie. I'm sorry, I know he lost his eye in war or whatever.
Holy crap.
Yeah. He did lose his right eye in an IED blast in Afghanistan during his third employment in 2012. I believe he even went back and served twice more after he had lost his eye. So that was a choice, Pete Davidson, of going after a war hero. But
yeah, it was icky, guys. I was watching it, I was just like, ooh, that's bad. And they're going to take some heat and deserve it for that.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Yeah. He wound up tweeting, the gentleman, Dan Crenshaw, "Good rule in life, I try hard not to offend. I try harder not to be offended. That being said, I hope NBC SNL recognizes that vets don't deserve to see their wounds used as punchlines for bad jokes."
Well said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well said. What is Pete Davidson doing on SNL?
Main question. Why is he on there? Good Lord.
I don't understand his contribution.
He's just the young one that looks gray. Why does his skin look so gray?
I don't know.
He does have issues.
It's just weird. It's just very odd. So yeah, that was quite a thing. But then it opened up a whole new new conversation, because a lot of Republicans were tweeting about this. How dare you say this? And then a lot of liberals were tweeting back, hey, remember McCain? Remember all that?
Sure.
Remember how you weren't real upset about Trump talking about he likes guys that weren't captured?
Mm-hmm.
Remember all that that happened?
Yeah.
We're in a very divisive time, people.
Yep.
Very divisive.
There are people who definitely wanted to paint it as all liberals hate soldiers,
mm-hmm.
and the reverse as well. You know, so yeah, it's ugly. Everything's a flashpoint now.
Can't we all just hate Pete Davidson?
I mean, yeah, we can all agree on that.
Agree
absolutely.
On that. Excellent.
Team Ariana.
Amen. Ugh. I can't. All right, some birthdays for you. Bryan Adams, Tilda Swinton, Sam Rockwell, Ryan Adams, and Kevin Jonas. And that's what's happening.
Why is AFI so good, you guys?
It's who they are.
I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
I know it's a tough question to answer.
Yeah.
But we'll get a chance to see them be good all over again when they play night number one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Just announced they're going to be part of the bill for Saturday night at the Forum December 8th, along with the Pumpkins and 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Blind, Greta Van Fleet, Bad Religion, The Interrupters, and more. Get all the details on that and night number two at KROQ.com. All right, Monday morning means the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano and DirecTV's Red Zone host joins us on the program. Andrew, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
I hope we are going to be seeing you at Acoustic Christmas like we usually do.
Yes. Who's Sunday night? I haven't looked yet. I heard Saturday.
Florence and the Machine, Death Cab for Cutie, Bastille, Mike Shinoda, Billie Eilish, Young the Giant, Churches, Mike Posner, and Lovely the Band.
You had me at Churches. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun night. All right, a bunch of stuff we got to get on with you about. First of all, as if you're not busy enough doing the Red Zone with seven games at a time, did you also squeeze in a live interview during the Red Zone yesterday?
Yeah, I was just talking with Dave about that. Jake Glazer, my colleague at Fox, does so much great work with veterans, and you know, Jay has his MMA gym, which is up in Hollywood, and mm-hmm. he has a group called MVP. It's called Merging Vets and Players, and it's basically a gym and a support group for our veterans who are back from war. And Jay brought me up there a couple of weeks ago, and to just honestly sit there and watch what is a really intense MMA workout, and then in essence group therapy, and just to be to be on the fringe and see it, and see the support that these guys have for each other to help all of these brave men and women back to make the transition into civilian life and everything that entails. It is a powerful, powerful scene and a great group, and it's the Salute to Service Week for the NFL, and it was an honor to have them in studio.
I love that. I think Jay is phenomenal at his job, but I worry that he's getting too buff. I think he's getting into he's getting into the Rock territory where it looks like he's going to burst out of his clothes like the Hulk at any minute.
I think it's because he's small. He's shorter.
Well, Jay's my height.
Or basically. Andrew's height, like I said.
So super short.
Height. As I said, I am not a tall human. Do you guys watch Fauda on Netflix?
No.
F-A-U-D-A.
No.
Okay, it's about a Mossad undercover intelligence group in the West Bank. It's a pretty intense show. Jay is the lead character in Fauda. Google it right now. I am right. He is. That's now what he has become. And I told him this a couple of weeks ago. They've never been in the same room at the same time.
I love it. All right, let's talk about a couple of key games. You know, a lot of times the game of the season, the matchup everyone is looking for, is a disappointment. Not the case yesterday with the Saints-Rams. What's your takeaway, Andrew?
All right, so my takeaway is this. The Rams are still really, really, really good. They are, I still believe, the best team in football. However, they are in danger potentially if they face the Saints again in the NFC Championship game, having to play that game in New Orleans. And as we saw yesterday, that is not something you aspire to. There's still a long way to go. The Saints are not unbeatable in any way, shape, or form. I give credit to them. They went on the road in Baltimore, won on the road in Minnesota, and won, and then came home and beat the Saints consecutive weeks. That's ridiculous. Good for you. The Saints have some defensive issues, major defensive issues. Marcus Peters says he's healthy. I believe him. I've heard the same, but he's getting beaten a lot. Aqib Talib, not having him back there, hurts. He should be back in a couple of weeks, hopefully. They have some things to shore up. Yet through all of that, which sounds like all panicky, they are still 8-1. So yeah. The end of the last couple of weeks in the NFC to determine where these playoff games are going to be is going to be fascinating. But you saw the cell phone celebration.
Well,
right?
I wanted to ask about that because I wasn't watching at that time, but I hear that Joe Buck treated it as if Michael Thomas had just pooped on the field.
Come on. I had the sound off. Did he really?
Yes. I mean, and obviously they got the celebration penalty and everything, which I guess a lot of people think was worth it. Describe what he did and why.
Okay, so this goes back to 2003. The Saints had a great receiver named Joe Horn. He's high on all their all-time receiving list records and all that. Joe Horn had a celebration in which he stashed a cell phone. Back then it was a flip phone underneath the wraparound, the pad on the goalpost.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of his celebration, he grabbed the cell phone and made a call to whom, I don't know. Like, what a contract. I don't know what it was, but that was his celebration. It was this iconic moment. Everyone laughed. It was in a big game. Ha, ha, ha. It's one of the best celebrations of all time. Well, Michael Thomas evidently stashed not only one flip phone, but two. One behind each goalpost because he didn't know where he was going to score. And so this put them up 10. So I'm sure where Joe is coming from. Look, if you do this and it gives your team the lead with 4 minutes to go, and then your team has to be penalized on the kickoff, and it shortens the field and helps the Rams rally back, then you're an idiot.
That makes sense. Yeah,
a-hole. Right. Yeah,
you can't hurt your team that way. Still, it made it a 10-point game. It would have taken a little bit of a miracle for the Rams to rally, but it wasn't totally out of the realm of possibility, although highly unlikely.
Yeah.
But give Mike Thomas credit, who I love. He actually had everything down pat. I mean, it was a total remake. He ran then to the sideline afterwards and picked up the phone on the bench, just like Joe Horn did in 2003. I mean,
that's commitment right there.
Reenacted everything. And credit to Sam Farmer, the LA Times, with the most important investigative journalism of the week. He found Joe Horn in Mississippi for his reaction.
Oh, wow. That's great. That is great reporting. I don't know. Look, I know that it's the biggest thing that happens to a player is scoring a touchdown. And I don't know how I guess I don't like these excessive celebration penalties. But I also wish the Seahawks would spend a little less time working on their dance routines and a little more time winning games. You know what I mean? At some point, I just feel like it's counterproductive.
Dean, maybe you know boy bands better than me. Who was that? Because I couldn't figure it out.
I thought they made it up. Honestly, I just thought it was something they made up.
Great.
I couldn't tell who it was.
All right, back to football for one. Back to
it
football.
It looked like Backstreet Boys or something, didn't it?
It might have been.
Okay. Can we talk football?
Yeah, we can talk football.
Back to the Rams. Let me just say this. I think more important than going unbeaten in a season is to see how you react when you're down and when you're getting beaten. And to me, they responded quite well.
Yeah, they're down 3 scores. They rally back and punch them back in the face. When Cooper Kupp went down the sideline and you went, all right, they are going to win this game. They didn't, because in the end, it circles back to the defense again. They didn't have enough to stop them at the end. Someone made a great point at our studio. It's kind of like tennis. And when the Rams went for the fake punt, which, by the way, I think they got screwed on. I think Johnny Hecker did make it, and I think he should have had the first down, even upon review. It's like you let the Saints break serve there. I mean, you had touchdown, 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 back and forth. And then once they broke serve, they kicked it into gear. Now, the Rams rallied back. Yes, and so now we find out how they deal with adversity because the Seahawks are here this week, and then the week after that, it is Mexico City. Hello. For the Chiefs on a Monday
you mean
night.
Hola, first of all.
Hola. Listen, here's
Estadio Azteca para un partido contra los Chiefs.
Oh, muy bien. Here's the way I look at it. Get that loss out of the way. You'd never want to go into a postseason undefeated. It never works out for you.
Bingo.
Do you have experience with this?
I believe I do.
All right, let's talk. We're talking to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. Since we brought up the Seahawks, let's talk about the Chargers, because a lot of people were saying, yeah, the Chargers have won a bunch in a row, but against teams with losing records. That wasn't the case yesterday. They looked super good against the Seahawks, although it was could have been a very, very close game if it hadn't been for that fourth quarter interception, that pick six that Russell threw. But Chargers still looking good, right?
The Chargers and the Rams are a combined 14-3.
Wow,
that's pretty good. The Chargers are still, and actually, I'm glad you mentioned it because that game was kind of the game that not enough people were paying attention to all week. I think on both sides, if the Seahawks had won it, you'd say, "All right, they opened 0-2, but Pete's kind of got it figured out now. I still think he does. The Chargers are sitting here at, what, 14-2 or 6-2 now. And they're the best team in the football that no one is talking about. Because in the AFC, we talk about the Chiefs. We talk about the Patriots. Who else do we talk about?
And
Steelers.
And in Los Angeles, it's mostly Rams. And then the Chargers sort of fly under the radar.
Well, look at they go to Oakland this week. So
that's
if there is any team against which you chalk up a win, I'm sorry, Raiders fans. You know it to be true now because the Raiders refused to take the field for the second half this past Thursday. Then they go to 7-2. Then they get Denver and Arizona at home. Those are both very winnable games, especially the latter. I hate to just start chalking up wins, but they're 9-2 heading to a game in Pittsburgh to open up December. So
all right.
they need a kicker.
Yes, they definitely had their struggles yesterday for sure.
I mean, in a town in which we love soccer, the fact that they still can't find a kicker is beyond me.
That is crazy.
All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there. I wanted to give big props to Tom Brady for breaking another NFL record last night. What is he? He's regular season plus postseason now over 80,000 yards. Is that what he hit last night, Andrew?
Yeah, something like that.
That's amazing.
The big disappointing one is he needed 3 yards coming into the day rushing to get to 1,000 career rushing yards.
He's not a runner.
And he lost a yard. He is now four shy. You think I'm joking? He put something on Instagram about this because he's not on Twitter about how excited he was. I'm sure it's kind of tongue in cheek. How excited he was to get to 1,000 yards.
That's so very sad.
That's awesome.
Nothing.
He's going to have every record of all time ever when he's done, when he plays till he's 65 years old. NFL Network's Up to the Minute, of course, and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. It's our friend Andrew Siciliano who joins us every Monday here. Thanks a lot for the time, Andrew. We'll do it again next time.
Always got to see it.
I bet foot fetishists love a Florence and the Machine show, don't you think?
Because she's barefoot?
Always barefoot.
I don't think that's what we want to focus on.
She's going to be headlining night number two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas on Sunday, December 9th at the Forum. Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, along with Death Cab and Bastille, Mike Shinoda, Billie Eilish, Young the Giant, Churches, Mike Poster, and Lovely the Band. Get all the details at krock.com. And your tickets go on sale Friday at noon.
Friday at noon.
You guys, I'm going to just say this real quick.
Okay.
A lot of times people build up to asking you about tickets.
Right.
Not this specific friend of mine. I won't name her. Maren Dungy. Here's the text I got literally 5 minutes after the announcement. So, is it too early, rude, or soon to ask to join you for night two of Acoustic Christmas? Why, no, it's not. And yes, you're coming. But I thought that was so funny.
It's a hot ticket, you guys.
It's a pretty good ticket.
And I'd like to say something while we're on the on a different topic.
What?
I'd like to change gears to something that's also topical for today. Because we announced Acoustic Christmas today, I'd also like to say this. I'm really tired of all the people who are telling everybody to vote. And here's why. Not that voting isn't important. It is. It's the most important thing you can do as an American
citizen. It's tomorrow. I wonder where you're going with this.
Where I'm going with this is, if you live in America and you see what's going on and you still don't care enough to cast a ballot tomorrow or have already cast it pre-voting, damn you to hell, by the way. You should be deported at this point. If you haven't seen anything in this last 2 years that makes you realize how important your vote is, I don't think I want you to vote. How about that?
All right. So stop telling people to vote because those people that need to be told are idiots, is what you're
saying. That's right. They're idiots. Exactly. Look, when you don't vote, that is a vote. It's a vote to let somebody else make all the decisions in America.
Absolutely.
That's what that is. Now, we were talking about Allie and I voted by mail early. Kevin, you went and voted in person this
weekend, I went Saturday.
Right?
Yeah. They had early voting. It was an hour-long line.
Wow.
Which I was surprised and happy with.
Yeah, that means a lot of people are voting.
But there was two people I want to highlight. One was a woman right in front of us, and it was a long line.
Right.
So the line would move up 5, 8, 10, 12 feet. She'd just stand there. So we go, hey, the line is sort of moving.
Right.
You move along with them. And so then she didn't move. So then I said, I'm just going to go then in front of you. And she said, not before me. And I said, well, go ahead and move up then. That's how a line works. That's how we get to the end of the line, which is where we vote. She kept doing that the whole line. It would be 10, 12, 15 feet the line moved up. And she wouldn't move, and she wouldn't allow my daughter and I to go in front of her.
What do you think her reason was? Did she have trouble walking? She just trying to save her steps until she had to use them?
I don't know. I assume she was angry about something else. I really don't know. I couldn't figure it out. In my head, I was saying, you know how a line works, right?
Yeah.
When the person in front of you moves up, you go ahead and move up.
Right.
She didn't want to do that.
The whole way to the ballot box.
Correct, yes.
Wow.
But there's another person.
Unusual.
There's another person that I want to highlight. She ordered pizzas and had them delivered to the line.
That's
five
awesome.
Large pizzas.
Yeah.
She's just like, I got it for everybody. Help yourself.
She should be allowed to vote twice.
Agreed. What are the illegalities of me marrying Janet, who we just talked to?
Like a bigamy type of situation?
Yeah.
I think your current wife would have, have some problems with it.
But Janet.
Although maybe not.
I love crazy.
She took it to levels I wasn't expecting.
Dave writes in on Twitter, at Kevin and Bean, in the 20 years that I've listened to the show, she's the best call I've ever heard. The 35-year-old candy-hating trick-or-treater is amazing.
Agreed.
We got to keep in touch with Halloween Janet. That's all there is to it. Hey, it's Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means coming up right after 9, it'll be time for Great News.
I thought
it's Monday and it's time for... Okay. First, though, Allie's here with What's Happening?
Again, that's not even a thing.
It's not a thing.
You ready? All right.
Great news.
Come on, what are you guys doing?
All right, guys. Here's the thing. Dave Grohl, he is the Foo Fighters frontman. He played drums for Nirvana. He's collaborated with everyone from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Tenacious D, Queens of the Stone Age, David Bowie, the Melvins, everyone.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
You have heard wrong, my friend. He's an amazing human being. But speaking to Forbes magazine, he says that he now has only one act left on his bucket list to cross off working with. Who do you think he would like to drum for? Mr. Dave Grohl, the one act.
Dat Boy.
Nope.
I have a legitimate guess.
Okay.
Because I feel like he has mentioned to us on the show before that he hopes to get the call if Led Zeppelin ever does a reunion.
But he's also said that he would never want to do something if Jason Bonham is playing. He would never step in his
shoes. He wouldn't want to bump. Yeah, you're right.
He wouldn't want to bump Bonham.
Okay. So who does he want to play for?
Play Van White Tees.
It's not Play White Tees.
Okay. Van Halen, Bean said?
Van Halen?
Not maybe? Van Halen. You were in the same vein when you were saying Led Zeppelin.
The who?
So think of an older band. Same.
Okay. I'm out.
Come on. The All Riddler? Right. Not the Riddler. That's not even a band, lady.
Peter Murgatroyd?
Not even... No, I don't even know what that is.
Von Miller.
No.
I don't know.
Ryan Seacrest!
He would like to play in a band with Ryan Seacrest.
And Prince Larry.
Prince Larry, not a band. You're not even naming bands now.
Twisted Sister!
Okay.
It's a band.
All right, think about Twisted Sister. Think about a heavier kind of band.
Heavier kind of band. Wow, we're terrible.
Shakur.
Okay. Think radio. Think of radio. That could be wrong.
What?
Alice Cooper.
Okay, think that.
Cherry Pop and Daddies?
Nope.
Shannon and the Clams.
Think heavier.
Mm-hmm.
Slayer.
Metallica.
No.
Metallica.
Think of...
What'd you tell us?
I don't like your clues.
Think of alternating current and direct current.
L-City?
Oh, that's... No, that's...
Dr. Boogie.
Well, you've given it away now, obviously.
I don't think I have,
it's
Kevin.
It's alternating and direct current.
Oh, AC/DC.
Yes, AC/DC. He said, that's my last one. That's it. Phil Rudd is back, though. So if you dive back into their back catalog, that early S, they were a little bit more dynamic and they settled into a groove. And that's all because of Phil Rudd. So I guess until he gets rid of Phil Rudd, that's not going to happen. But that was fun. What we did there.
I can see Dave Grohl being phenomenal playing drums for any band, but for AC/DC, that's a perfect fit.
Yeah, he'd have a blast. But maybe Phil Rudd.
I mean, Phil Rudd the one who killed a dude or something, though? Wasn't he out of the band for a while because he was on trial for murder?
Listen, we all make mistakes, dude.
Okay.
Who hasn't?
So, I don't know. Is that true?
I thought so.
Like that you're just guessing at that. Something that serious. You're just taking a wild stab.
Isn't Phil Rudd the one that killed his whole family?
That's a terrible way to live, Bean. Come on now.
And then they had
to have more than just a hunch if you're going to say he killed a guy.
And then the lead singer, remember, they fired him because he was losing his hearing. Remember, he couldn't. That's why they got Axl Rose.
Well, I don't think it was like he was losing his hearing, so they fired him. He couldn't perform anymore. So that's kind of a
big
deal.
I don't like your recap of any of this, Steve.
Yes.
And then the other brother, Malcolm Young, bass player, I guess, he died. So there's barely anything left of AC/DC anyway, so why the hell not give it to Dave Grohl? At least he didn't kill a dude.
Listen, I am sorry I brought it up. That's all I'm gonna
We're able
say
to ruin
right now.
Anything that you have that's good.
Honestly.
It's our talent.
All right. Well, what's good, Freddie Mercury, Queen. They came in number one at the box office, Bohemian Rhapsody, pulling in $50 million this weekend. Which is great because they weren't really expecting it to do that good, and it did.
I don't think it cost a tremendous amount of money, too, compared to that box office.
Really?
Yeah.
That's even better.
I think they, I mean, look, when you got...
Pay my dues.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Time after time.
I mean, who isn't going to go see this?
Right.
I've done my sentence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But committed no crime.
Sounds like William Hung, though.
Oh, yes. This is all right from the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's real good.
It's like Freddie is still with us, you guys.
Right? Big emotional scene at the end. I'm going to let it go.
I'll let you.
This guy's doing it. He's a hand farter.
It's broken. All right, here we go, Mama. All right, good stuff. Yeah. Here's the thing that a lot of soundtracks do. They then do the remixes, and they have other people come in and do the songs. Those three artists right there, I would buy that album.
Oh, agreed.
Right?
Yeah. Them
Real
and Sam.
Yes. Yeah. So Bohemian Rhapsody came in at number one. Number two, The Nutcracker and the Four Realms came in with $20 million. Coming in third, Nobody's Fool, followed by A Star Is Born, and rounding out the top five, Halloween.
Which Chip's on said was fantastic.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot, you guys. Ozzy, he's going to be spending much of 2019 in North America on a new leg of his ongoing No More Tours to tour.
Wait.
Yep.
He did a huge Black Sabbath farewell tour.
Yep.
And then a huge solo Ozzy Osbourne tour.
Yeah.
He was not going to tour anymore.
Yeah.
He was over it.
Yeah.
Right.
Now what?
This is the No More Tours to Tour. And here's the thing. He has to do those makeup shows because he got that staph infection. So he's got to do makeup shows. He's going to be playing here in L.A. on July 29th at the Hollywood Bowl. So it's what he does.
All right.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
And just real quickly, Bean sent me the story last week on Friday, and I didn't see it until this weekend. And I was like, holy crap. This is a story. Remember when Sharon Osbourne found out that Ozzy was cheating on her? Because she had read some emails that were meant for one of the other women.
Yep. Yeah, and they separated for quite a while, I think, before they worked it out.
Yeah, they did. She has come to tell us all that she was a broken woman. He took his sleeping pills. I put an extra two in his drink and then asked him everything. And everything came out. He would never have told me the truth, ever. He was ashamed and afraid. She drugged him to find out the truth.
How can you tell if Ozzy is drugged?
That's a great question, first of all. Right. Second of all, it doesn't seem like that would be acceptable in any other...
Ever! This is insane to me!
But in their marriage?
Probably I normal, mean, right?
Like, is it that surprising?
Yeah. Wow. Giving your husband extra sleeping pills so he'll admit to cheating on you.
I'd be nervous about being responsible for Ozzy's overdose because I always feel like he's very close to death anyway. Yeah. You don't want to push him over the edge.
That was just quite something to have read.
Wow.
So thanks for sending that, Bean.
Sure.
Some birthdays for you. Bryan Adams and Ryan Adams and Tilda Swinton, Sam Rockwell, Kevin Jonas.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
That's what's happening.
That song is Bad Flower, and it's called Ghost on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 23 minutes after 9 o'clock.
That is one of the great bands you'll be seeing on night number one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. I was just thinking about those lucky, lucky people who weren't even awake at 7:15 when we made the announcement this morning. Like, they got up at like 8:30, 9 o'clock maybe. Maybe they blame the time change. That's hard. That's sure. A hard adjustment right there. Get to standard time. So they don't even know. This is new information. Here's the deal. Night number one is December the 8th at the Forum. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. Let's find out who else besides Bad Flower is playing.
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018.
California!
Night one. Saturday, December 8th. The Forum.
Are you ready for a war?
Wanna go for a ride?
Smashing Pumpkins.
Like so many of you guys, I basically grew up listening to K-Rock, and they have changed our lives.
30 Seconds to Mars.
My friend.
Third Eye Blind.
I want something else. How's it gonna be?
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. Greta Van Fleet.
So sweet. So fine. What you gonna do?
Father, can you hear me? Bad Religion.
There will be fire.
Thanks, everybody. Have a very Merry Christmas.
The Interrupters.
You having a good holiday festival, Los Angeles?
AFI. AJR.
Don't you help me sober. Take over the whole house now.
Bad Flower.
Take your pain away from me. I am a fool.
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018.
Night one. Tickets on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños. K-Rock.
Look, Smashing Pumpkins is all you need. They already proved that when they sold out the Forum a couple of times not long ago. But they are at the top of the bill along with 30 Seconds to Mars, which I referred to as Jared in his cape. Also, Third Eye Blind, Greta Van Fleet, who are one of the hottest young rock bands in the world today. I can't wait to see them live. Bad Religion, The Interrupters, AFI, one of the all-time K-Rock greats, AJR, and Bad Flower. That's a hell of a night, you guys.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Think we're done there?
Thank God we're done there. We can just rest after that, right?
There's actually a second night.
What?
It seems like all of L.A. is starting to get into the Christmas spirit.
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018.
I see you guys in the pit out here. Where are the people in the mosh pit at?
Night 2, Sunday, December 9th, The Forum.
And what do you want for Christmas?
Florence and the Machine.
Hey, this is Ben from Death Cab for Cutie. Please join us, won't you?
Death Cab for Cutie. K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. Bestial.
But if you close your eyes, I want you to be happy.
We have a very, very special guest with us tonight. Say hello to Mr. Mike Shinoda.
Mama, help me. I've been cursed.
Hey, I don't know why.
Mike Shinoda.
A little bit of loneliness.
At the age of only 16, our next guest is one of the hottest names in music.
Please welcome Billie Eilish.
You should see me in a white light. One light. You should see me in a crowd.
Young the Giant. Churches.
Give it up, Mike Posner.
Mike Posner.
Don't wanna write no song about you.
Lovely the Band.
Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018.
Ho, ho, ho. Night 2.
Tickets on sale Friday at noon.
Proceeds benefit Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños.
All right.
I'm exhausted.
It's a good second night. Florence and the Machine.
I don't know how I could survive that.
Death Cab for Cutie, Bastille, Mike Shinoda, Billie Eilish, Young the Giant, Churches, Mike Posner, and Lovely the Band. Tickets for that also go on sale Friday at noon.
All you need to do for all the information is check krock.com and get set to buy your tickets. We'll see you there December 8th and 9th at the Forum from KROQ.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
Take a guess when the last time was that Third Eye Blind played an Acoustic Christmas or a Weenie Roast show.
That's a great question.
Because they are playing night number one coming up December 8th at the Forum. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. They're one of the great acts for night number one.
2007.
2007. Okay, great guess. How about you, Allie?
2003.
1998.
Oh,
wow.
It's been 20 years since Third Eye Blind was on the bill. And they got a lot of great songs. They are going to be super, super fun. So go to krock.com to get all the details about this year's KROQ Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Allie is here. Time for a final look at what's happening.
Ryan Reynolds, known troller. This yes. we know about him. He trolls everyone on Twitter, on Instagram, and he has no boundaries. Doesn't matter who it is, yep. his wife, whoever. Well, recently it's been Hugh Jackman. So he tweeted a fake political smear ad against Jackman on Friday, asking his followers, how well do you really know Hugh Jackman? And it's all about Hugh getting a lot of buzz for his performance in The Front Runner. And he's basically saying he's fooled a lot of you people into thinking he deserves an award for this. So he lists off a bunch of faux facts like, oh, he speaks with that charming accent, but he's really from Milwaukee. Going back and forth, back and forth. Well, Hugh Jackman has responded with a video that has summarized his thoughts. It's just a 9-second shot of him scooping up his dog's poop on a photo of Ryan Reynolds. What's going on with these two?
I love it. That's awesome.
I kind of like it. Just no talking, just poop.
Love it.
Right onto Ryan Reynolds' picture. So there you have it. So Rebel Wilson got some blowback. She was on Ellen DeGeneres on Friday promoting her movie Isn't It Romantic? And she said that she's proud to be the first ever plus-size girl to be the star of a romantic comedy. Which got a lot of people saying, oh, do Queen Latifah and Monique not exist anymore? So she got a lot of blowback, but more so for her not then saying, ooh, wow, you're right. My bad. Instead, she responded to people by saying, yeah, of course I know of these movies, but it was questionable as to whether, one, technically those actresses were plus size while filming those movies, or two, technically those films are categorized, billed as a studio rom-com with the sole lead. So there's a slight gray area.
What is happening?
What are you doing, Bee?
No,
stop
you,
it.
You apologize for overlooking African-American actresses
Thank
in that
you.
Category. That's
Thank
what you.
You
do.
So Monique writes to her, hey, my sweet sister, let's please not allow this business to erase our talent with giving gray areas and technicalities. Take a moment and know the history. Don't be a part of erasing it. I wish you the best. And then Rebel Wilson started.
That seems nice.
Yes, Rebel Wilson started blocking all sorts of women of color
that were saying,
hey, maybe sit down, listen to us for a minute.
Hmm.
And then she would respond to white women that were responding to her. Rebel!
Wow.
Whoopsie! So not only did you step in it, you then did what I'm seeing so much of, the doubling down, the tripling down of wrongness. Not good.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
I do, lady. I do.
This is awful!
Not a real good situation right there for anybody involved. Okay, I saw this story and I immediately thought of Kevin. Because, Kevin, how much money, cash money, would you say you have in your wallet right now? How many bills?
How many bills?
Totaling what?
50 bills totaling $50.
Well, Kevin has a strip club he swings by every day on the way home.
All right.
I don't know.
So, well, opinions vary on how much cash you should keep in your wallet.
Oh, I see. You should. I got
yes.
you. Okay.
A survey from Money Magazine found that 42% of people carry no more than $40 in cash. 30% carry between $41 and $99. But they're saying that you should carry $200 in cash.
What?
It's the right amount because it's enough to handle a standard emergency. Or it's also likely to cover a bill at a restaurant if your credit card is declined and doesn't accept plastic. I don't think I've ever had $200 in my wallet, ever, unless I'm going to buy something.
Just make it a grand. Why not just make it $1,000?
Just make it a gold bar. Why don't I just carry one of those around? I am so in the minority of those statistics you gave.
Same.
I would say that I almost never even have $20 in my wallet.
I'm with you. Yeah, I just don't have cash.
Compared to you guys.
You really are.
Just the only thing you would really need to use cash for, I think, is tipping, right? And I don't really valet you guys do, but I mean, you would want a couple of dollars for the valet guy. But other than that, I don't know what you could ever use cash for. I mean, if I spend $2 at a 7-Eleven, it's just as fast to stick a credit card in and walk out that way, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, experts say you should have at least $20 in $5 bills on you at all time for tipping. So they're saying even a couple bucks, you're cheap. Because that's $5 bills. That's not singles.
I feel like it should take into account people's income, though. You can't tell people that don't have much money they should have $200
Always have $200 in cash.
That's absurd.
Because
if they had $200, they'd have moved into a better apartment by now.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm saying they would have something to spend that money on if they had $200. That's too much money to just have, you know, just have in your back pocket in case.
Yeah. I'm just saying it sort of matters what your income is.
Absolutely.
How much cash you carry around with you.
But then you think of someone like Bean that never has $20, who makes an okay living.
Yeah, true.
What is wrong with us,
he's
Bean?
Cheap.
And also, I'll tell you.
He doesn't tip, though, so he's got that going.
I definitely tip. I'm a very good tipper. But I will say that years ago, when they started giving you miles or points on various credit cards, it doesn't make any sense to me to spend $7 in cash at something at a store if I can get, you know, 700 miles off of it on a credit card. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, take it up with this study. It's not us, man.
It all adds up.
Get off my bag.
Right?
Money Magazine. It's not us. Good
Write
Lord.
One of your angry tweets to them.
Exactly.
I'm exhausted. I would have to lay off Twitter for a while.
It was a big
weekend. A lot of strongly worded tweets this weekend.
Yeah. Did anybody, out of curiosity, any of the companies that you would respond to saying not only is it not savings, it's saving, but it's also standard time, any of them write back and say, gosh, you're right, sir? Thanks.
Great question.
Not this year. I have had some success in the past. Last year, I had a couple people make corrections, which I was grateful for because they were no longer spreading disinformation and turning this country communist. But this year, I felt like I was being ignored.
Yeah. I felt like you were making some headway the last couple of years.
I really did. It was a discouraging
I quote tweeted Bean, and I'm very happy with this. And I said, say it right, people. It's daylight savings.
Oh, see, that doesn't make things better.
It's not helping.
I wasn't trying to help. I was trying to laugh. Yeah.
I feel like I lost an 18-inning ball game this weekend. That's what I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Was any in particular more troubling to you? Like maybe that you really respected a company and then you saw that?
Well, the most troubling are...
What was the most egregious? Yeah.
Probably USA Today because, of course, their editors are right in the paper and in the article, but then they have some intern tweeting who doesn't know the difference, and they make the rookie mistake.
Right.
I just feel like they should be held to the same standard.
Bean was all up in their business.
I sure was. Yeah.
Oof.
But we're okay now. Mm-hmm. It's standard time.
Okay.
Be a lot easier for people going forward because there's no need to even reference daylight saving or savings time because it's just standard time. So let's just
until spring, March, April, whatever that is.
Let's hope tomorrow California goes and abolishes daylight time and we don't have to ever go through any of this nonsense again.
You can't vote on that tomorrow. That's true.
Yeah. That's so dumb.
You have to. It's a yes or a no for yes daylight no. saving or mm-hmm. daylight savings.
That's not how it goes at all.
And amazing.
I put yes on savings.
By the way, even if the public overwhelmingly votes one way or another, it still has to go through. It still has to go through the state legislature, and
right.
and I think Washington D.C. has to sign off it as well. So it's not a quick fix, but at least mm-hmm. it's a step in the right direction.
Is it?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
I'm
if
important.
California, really, that's on our ballot right now, you guys.
It
should
yeah.
be.
It's so dumb.
It's not dumb because it annoys millions of people hate it, hate the time change.
Mm-hmm.
Why not give the people the opportunity to do away with the time change?
Then why not do away with it across the board, across the United States of America, to then screw up California like, oh, I can't, which hour are we, I can't figure it out. It's so dumb.
We don't screw up California. We fix California. It's the rest of the states that are going to be screwed up.
All right.
Yeah.
That being okay. Out of curiosity.
Uh-huh.
You don't vote in California, right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
But that doesn't mean other people shouldn't and they should do the right thing.
I'm just saying, do you have anything this dumb on the ballot for where you vote for?
I don't consider this dumb. I consider this something that will make people's lives easier. So I'm
just trying to make people's lives easier.
That's
you guys.
What I'm about. Okay. I'm grateful that it's on the ballot. I appreciate okay. lawmakers in California taking it seriously and keeping in mind all the millions of people who want to do away with daylight saving time. I think it's great.
Allie,
how
the polls tomorrow.
How did you vote on this, Allie?
I voted no.
You're
I voted
dick.
No, and I'll tell you why. Because again, math. I don't want to, at some point, be like, wait, it's 6 o'clock here. What time is it on the East Coast? Oh, wait, are they 3 now or 2? Where are we at
this
now?
This is math
don't
with,
make
like,
me do
single digits.
Doesn't matter, Kevin. It's dumb.
Okay.
Either we all do it or none of us do it.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Either we all do daylight savings yeah. or none of us do
yes.
daylight savings.
Kevin,
yeah.
how did you vote on this controversial time issue?
I voted yes.
God
so you
it.
Canceled that Allie's vote. You did the
yes,
right thing.
Correct.
Okay, good.
But I'm going to vote again tomorrow. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, just not how
no, early and often.
Good Lord. How'd you vote on the,
not
the
saying.
Rent control one? What about the animals?
I don't feel like anybody
what
cares
about the homeless.
My opinion on what to vote.
What about the dialysis one? What about the... All right, I'm done. Hey, some birthdays for you. Tilda Swinton, Bryan Adams, his brother Ryan Adams. They're not related.
I don't think they
guys.
Are. No.
Kevin Jonas and Sam Rockwell. Nope. That's just a singer called Rockwell. I'm talking about Sam Rockwell. Yeah, three billboards.
I misunderstood. Sorry.
No problem. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie, the SoCal Helpful Hundity. Tomorrow, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. I don't know if you've seen this documentary on the Royals, but there's some BS going on.
Like?
Like Prince Charles has his shoestrings ironed every morning.
No.
He also has a guy put toothpaste on his toothbrush. So I'm going to bring you highlights of that documentary because...
And we'll never be royals.
Right?
And we'll never be royals.
Can't wait.
From one of our favorite shows, Mayans MC, we've got J.D. Pardo.
Oh, man.
Such a good show.
How
shirt
good
on or
is
shirt
that
off?
Show?
Have we decided?
I mean, I think
for the interview?
It's up to him.
Okay.
Usually, yeah.
Okay.
And what's up with Florida? Also, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.